It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Prime Minister, how are you?
Morena, not bad, thank you. How are you?
Good. It's great to have you on the show. We've got some big topics to talk about today. Let's start with the situation with India at the moment. So we've got a suspension of travel from people coming in from India. Now, can you just explain a little bit about why that's come into effect? And also, we've got this two-week initial period. What needs to change before we can see travel resume?
Yeah, so the reason we took that decision is because we had consistently high numbers. In those final days before we made this decision, 17 or so cases coming through from India, and we were picking them up in our day zero testing. So that essentially means straight away picking up that people who had been recently infected had been travelling into New Zealand, and at a rate much higher than we'd seen from any other part of the world over the course of the pandemic. So the reason we put a suspension in place, we cannot and will not stop our citizens from being able to come home, but what we believe that we could benefit from was a bit of time taken with our incoming travellers to take a look at whether or not our pre-departure testing at the border was making the difference that we wanted it to, because it was in other places but not in India to the same degree, and whether or not there are other ways that we can also just make sure travellers aren't being put at risk, because those, what it looks like from the genome sequencing and the day zero testing when people are coming in, it does mean that people are getting infected quite close to when they're travelling.
Right. And so how will we be able to get travellers back into New Zealand from India? What's going to be some of the things that need to change in the government's mind before that is something that can happen again?
Well, it's incumbent on us. It's our job to try and find ways to reduce down the risk. And, of course, nowhere in the world will we ever get that risk down to zero, but we thought we could do a better job than what we were seeing at that time. So a couple of things we're exploring, whether or not having accredited labs doing the pre-departure testing. We do our PCR testing in a particular way, whether or not that will make a difference. Whether or not we need to shorten down the pre-testing time. At the moment, it's 72 hours before, but it's quite likely people in that short time then before departure are becoming unwell. So whether that would make a difference. So we're looking at a range of different options. It won't reduce the risk down to zero, not at all. That would be unreasonable, but just to improve things a bit.
And what's the government doing to support those people whose travel plans have been disrupted? Because, I mean, we all know it's quite a traumatic process trying to get home in the middle of a pandemic. Is there a support going on there for those people?
So the biggest concern generally, of course, for travel is your ability to get a managed isolation facility voucher. So the ability to actually just book into that system, that isn't an issue at the moment. Previously, particularly leading into summer, everyone wanted to come home. I don't know why, but no one wants to come home right now. So there's more spaces available, and so that issue isn't nearly as much as it otherwise might be. So I'm confident that those who may have had their travel plans disrupted will be able to get spots again.
And does the Australian bubble, which is, just around the corner theoretically, what does that have on decision-making around this? Is there any correlation or sort of, conversation going on between those two situations at the moment?
No, not at all, not at all. I mean, keeping in mind, we treat everyone who arrives in New Zealand from offshore, outside of those quarantine-free countries, we treat everyone otherwise as if they might have COVID. So, the fact that we've had a high number of cases at the border, they're all still in isolation or quarantine facilities. The same protocols apply. No, it doesn't affect the bubble at all. We just wanted to try and see if we could reduce down the risk for travellers and for New Zealand.
Well, let's talk a bit about vaccination here in Aotearoa. We're seeing quite a bit of conversation around the rates of vaccination for our border workers. It's looking at around about 86%, I think, across the board for our border workers at the moment. We are seeing some calls, though, from people such as epidemiologist Professor Michael Baker, who is calling for a vaccination register to be created. Is this something the government's looking at to help track how we're going here and who specifically is being vaccinated?
Yeah, so the 86%, that's our people who are working in quarantine facilities.
Right.
We'll be doing an update on those numbers today. And of course, as you expect, they continue to track up. from the 1st of May, if you haven't been vaccinated, that workforce, you won't be able to work in our managed isolation facilities. And that was, we gave a reasonable lead time for that because, you know, that's a big shift for someone who may need to be redeployed if they choose not to be vaccinated. But actually, we're expecting those numbers to be small. We do have a national register. So that's something that we have had to establish. New Zealand previously hasn't had a national immunisation register, which has made tracking people's immunisations, particularly, you know, if you're someone who was younger in the 1990s, you know, or people will know that we've had issues in the past with measles and catch-up campaigns of people who haven't been properly vaccinated. Thankfully, because of this National Immunisation Register, New Zealand will be better placed in the future because of it. Whether or not Professor Michael Baker may be referring to how easily that is shared, because ultimately we do have to protect people's privacy. If they want their employer to be able to see that they're vaccinated, they have to give us permission to share that.
So with our broader vaccination program, there has been a bit of criticism from the National Party, particularly that we haven't got public targets necessarily set. Why is that? And also, how are we tracking at the moment?
So put out additional, so we do weekly reporting at the moment on our vaccine rollout. We've set an aspiration for where we believe we need to be relative to our rollout plans, because one of the things we wanted to do is just be really steady in our rollout. We don't want a situation where, and that's why we've been targeted in the beginning, we don't have enough vaccine to vaccinate everyone at the moment. So we've been picking particular groups, knowing that we have enough vaccine to cover them all, so that we don't have a situation where we run out. So that's why we've had a steady rollout. We're tracking at about 96% of where we would hope to be at this point in time. We'll keep publicly releasing that. We are going to put out targets for the district health boards today as well. So that will show our expectation on regionally what the rollout should look like in order for us to reach a certain point, you know, out to about close to about June or so.
We're seeing some reports as well that, particularly in Tamaki Makaurau here, the DHBs are saying they're going to need about twice as many vaccinators that they currently have. Is there support for those services to get people ready to be vaccinators when we get to this more broad rollout of the program?
Look, and as you'd totally expect, when we get to the middle of the year and we're working to try and vaccinate the entire population, yes, we need to grow that vaccination workforce. So whilst less of an issue now, by about the middle of the year, we do need extra people. We have been working closely with DHBs. I was on a call with them just last week where we were talking about the work that's been done to bring on, qualified medical people who are in medical training. So, you know, third-year nursing students are able to be part of that vaccination program. So bringing on extra people, bringing on some of the recently retired workforce who in the last 3 years may have left and could come back on for the program. And what we can do to build the support people around them so that vaccinators are just vaccinating. They're not doing any admin, they're not doing anything other than just making sure they're putting people through. And so that's work we've been doing for a while, and we're confident we can scale up that workforce.
The last thing I just wanted to touch base on with you is the calls that we're seeing for funding of a self-swabbing system for cervical cancer, a self-swabbing program coming out. Now, obviously, this is big in the news because of Kiritapu Allen, who's been pretty amazing in her own journey at the moment. Yeah. Now, we're seeing calls from a lot of different people. Te Pātai Māori co-leader Debbie Nawera Packer has been backing this, particularly around wahine Māori and trying to get across some of those issues of whakamā around the current cervical screening process. What's happening here? Is there going to be a push for this? Why have we not got this system rolled out already?
Yeah, so at the moment, of course, you know, one of the most effective things that that we have in place and that we really want to keep encouraging use around is our cervical screening program, which is free. We encourage people to every 3 years make sure that they're getting checked. At the moment, rates are about 70%, but they're lower for Māori. And so we know we have a job to do there. The question then becomes, okay, are some of these other alternative options as effective as part of a screening program? And will they overcome some of the issues we're seeing currently with what we already have in place? So that's something that we're looking closely at. We're always wanting to make sure that our screening programs if we have problems with them, that the alternatives are going to fix those problems, because ultimately the aim here is to make sure as many women as possible are being screened. The one thing I would say, and you know, I'm sure if Kitty was on this call, she would say the same thing. You know, she was part of a screening program. But we need everyone to just be mindful of their own health and well-being. Just, you know, if there's something that feels as though it's not right, go and see someone and make sure that you prioritise your own health.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be thinking of Kitty Tapu-Allen. I think she's doing an amazing job at the moment. And thank you so much for chatting to us this morning, Prime Minister. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again next month.
Talk soon.
Ka kite.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.